Okay, we are going to discuss a sutta teaching or a Dhamma sermon, and that is related to the Aggavisana Sutta available in Sutta Nipata. And as we all know, it is discussing various verses which are attributed to Pacheka Buddhas. So we know Samma Sambuddha, Pacheka Buddha, and fully enlightened Arahant are the three levels that Buddha described as the fully enlightened beings. Samma Sambuddhas are capable of self-realization and then preaching Dhamma to many and establish sasana, so that many, many people are able to understand his teachings, and then further understanding will lead them also to their own purification and to become enlightened. But Pacheka Buddhas, on the other hand, they are also self-enlightened, but they can't realize others. They can't preach in detail the Dhamma to others. So therefore, it is very much like kind of a private understanding. They are not preaching in length, and they are not establishing kind of a sasana. Sangha order is not available, but individually they are quite capable. And the Arahants, on the other hand, they are the disciples of the Samma Sambuddha. So when Samma Sambuddha happens, he self-realized, so he preached Dhamma. So other people start to practice his Dhamma, practice morality, that is Sila, and then Samadhi, the concentration, and then wisdom, Panya, and so that they also become enlightened. So then they are capable of even preaching to the others. Actually, it depends on the individuals. I mean, certain Arahants are capable of explaining things to the others, but certain others are not that capable of explaining things to the others. So it depends. So anyway, this sutta, Aggavisana Sutta, according to the commentary, is attributed to certain utterance of the Pacheka Buddhas. I mean, some kind of excited utterance of the Pacheka Buddha. Idea is, when someone become a Pacheka Buddha, so he is explaining how he became a Pacheka Buddha. What are the skills he might have developed? What are the incidents that he has gone through, or what are the special qualities that he has developed? So likewise, he is giving a kind of a explanation about his own realization. Now we have actually come to the around 30 verses of this sutta. Actually, it contains around 40 verses. All are attributed to Pacheka Buddhas. And now we have gone through about 30 verses already. And today we have to develop the 70th one. And it goes like this. Tanhakkayang pattayang appamatto anela mugo sutava satima. Sankhata dhammu niyato padhanava eko chare kagga visana kappu. So this eko chare kagga visana kappu is repeated in almost all the verses. Eko chare kagga visana kappu. So that means let's live like a rhinoceros horn. So this, I mean, you can understand now, say, for example, when someone has gone to the, say, ordained life, when someone becomes a monk, assume that he's gone to a forest living and he's simply alone and he simply come to the village just to collect alms. So he's living a secluded life. So he determined to do that. I'm talking, suppose that someone want to really become enlightened and he's determined just to live alone. So this secluded practice is again and again highlighted in this sutta, the each and every verse. So before that, by the way, certain attributes of the practice are explained. So tanhakkayam. Tanhakkayam means, I mean, one has to completely remove craving. The craving has to be uprooted. Tanha. Tanha is the craving. Craving has to be uprooted. Attayam appamatto. And he wished to do that as quickly as possible. And he has a kind of a yearning. He has a kind of a inclination that I should somehow remove craving. Because you know that the Buddha explains the reason for suffering is as the tanha. In Four Noble Truths, the first noble truth is suffering or unsatisfactoriness. The second noble truth is the cause of suffering. That is dukkha samudaya. That is nothing but craving. So therefore, Buddha explained, if one is able to uproot craving, that indicates that one can become free from suffering. So, the cause and relationship. So we understand, okay, this is the cause. Because of this cause, this suffering happens. This is the result. But if one is able to overcome suffering, sorry, overcome craving, there can't be such kind of a suffering. But on the other hand, different types of suffering we can understand. Say, for example, we have some physical suffering. Say we get old, we get sick. So those also cause some amount of suffering that cannot be avoided, because this body is uncertain and it goes through a lot of variations, ups and downs, sickness, old age, different issues are there. But on the other hand, when body is going through some amount of suffering, is it possible for us to maintain mind free from suffering? What do you think? Say our body is now getting old. Do we really need to mentally suffer about it? Not necessary. So that is what Buddha highlights. Because one time there is one old person called Nakulapita. So Nakulapita come and meet the Buddha, and he explained, Bante, now my body is like a very old cart. It is sometimes very, I mean, giving a lot of noise and difficult and a lot of uneasiness, many troubles, many diseases. So I am almost like a wreck. So Buddha explained, that is so. That is the same thing. You can't stop that. You can't avoid that. This body becomes sick. This body become, say, old. And one day it will die. So can you keep the mind free from suffering? Even when the body is suffering, going through some sickness, are we able to maintain mind free from suffering? So that is the Buddha's teaching. How to maintain a mind free from suffering even when body is going through some suffering. So nowadays, I mean, people are going through a lot of sicknesses. Maybe COVID, maybe say cancer, different things. But even when we are going through that, are we able to maintain kind of a unbroken mindfulness and maybe some sort of some kind of stability in the mind, and not much going down, not collapse, not depressed, but just to maintain some sort of an endurance. So body is suffering, but can I endure it? So that is the kind of a strength that we need to develop. And yearning for cravings destruction. Tanhakyang patyang apamatto. Apamatto means very heedful. I am determined to do the destruction of craving. Because craving is the one causing suffering. Anela mugo. Anela mugo means very wise. So Buddha's path is determined or explained as a kind of a wise path. So one has to have some amount of understanding in order to lead the path, in order to continue the path. Otherwise, we just stay, or we can simply stagnate at a particular level. Say certain person just satisfy with the typical rituals. Say you go to the temple, you offer some money, offer some flowers, offer some food. That's all. You are not going beyond that. Say you go to the Bodhi tree, you respect that, you offer some flowers. That's all. We are not going beyond that. That is one level. But on another level, say some persons go to the temple, at the same time assume that they are trying to develop some amount of samadhi, concentration. So they can simply sit and maybe can have some kind of a mental satisfaction, kind of a blissful event. That's all. But assume that due to some reason they become sick. That all, whatever the happiness that they gain, might lose. Because it's a concentration state. We are able to have some kind of happiness through concentration, through samadhi, but that also can loss and lose. On the other hand, assume that someone is developing panya, wisdom, vipassana. So that is where one can have kind of a irreversible type of happiness. Happiness, so we can say understanding. So if one becomes a sotapanna, for example, then it is mentioned that he will never go back to the hell realm. Apaya, never go back. So likewise, there are certain very significant achievements, significant improvements one can entertain when one is developing vipassana. So that is why Buddha explained sila samadhi panya. Sila is the kind of a morality, and then one develops fair amount of concentration. Based on that, one develops wisdom. Anila Mogo here actually explained that vice or the wisdom, panya. Sutava Satima. Sutava means he has a fair amount of understanding about the Buddha's teaching. He's not just blindly following, but he has read the Buddha's teaching, he has a fair amount of understanding, he can reflect that, he can compare that. So he can actually relate his own practice with the Buddha's teaching. What happens today is, suppose that someone is simply telling and we simply believe. We ourselves, we don't have much understanding. But the what is requirement is, we ourselves may be practicing, at the same time we are able to access Buddha's teaching, listen Buddha's teaching, and we can actually compare whether what I am experiencing is really telling with the Buddha's teaching. Then we are quite sure, I am not leading the wrong path. I know that I am also in the correct path, because Buddha has explained that to some extent I am experiencing it. That is what Buddha highlights. So Sutava means I am well learned in a way. Now actually during the old days we didn't have computers and CDs and all different technologies. So the only way of developing some amount of understanding is just by listening. You go to a certain monk and he is a learned monk and he is preaching Dhamma and you simply listen. Through listening you are understanding. You are developing your, say, knowledge. But today we have various methods to develop our knowledge. And whatever the way, so we have some kind of a understanding, some kind of a learned kind of education, we can say. So that is also important. And then the other quality mentioned here is the satima, that is mindfulness. So just sutava, just understanding, or just the book knowledge is not enough at all. That is simply a surface knowledge. Now you today you know that many people have university degrees and all experts are there. But if they are not really practicing, if they are not really internalizing the Buddha's teaching, that is not no much benefit. That is why Buddha always highlight that one has to have some amount of understanding about the Buddha's teaching, but most importantly, one has to practice it. One has to internalize that Buddha's teaching. Then only one can really experience it, one can enjoy the fruits. Otherwise, you are very much like Buddha is giving a kind of a simile. You are simply protecting someone else's house. Gopala, you know, shed, I don't know what's the name, English term. So, this shed, shepherd. So, say, shepherd doesn't belong to the cows, but he is simply taking care of someone else's cows. So similarly, Buddha mentioned, if someone simply have some knowledge about the teaching but never practice, he's like a shepherd. But on the other hand, the landlord, so he owned the cow. I mean, he has all the benefits getting from the cows, maybe milk, maybe butter, whatever it is. So everything is to the landlord. So similarly, Buddha mentioned, so if one has some amount of knowledge plus the understanding, his own realization, experiential knowledge, then that is the best thing. So the very starting point of that is the satima, that you have to develop mindfulness. The development of mindfulness will lead to develop concentration. You can't have a better or proper kind of a concentration without mindfulness. Assume that you are developing today walking, just 10 steps. Tomorrow say 15 steps. Day after tomorrow 20 steps, for example. And then you can understand, okay, now my mind is not much distracting. I can have some kind of a collectedness. My mind is not distracting, but when I ask my mind to stay concentrated on this walking, it is staying, not going out. So that is a fair amount of collected behavior or concentration that we gain through development of mindfulness. At the beginning, we have to develop mindfulness. As we develop mindfulness, we are able to gain a fair amount of concentration. So therefore, we can say mindfulness as the kind of a base, as a starting point, foundation, which leads to fair understanding of wisdom and fair understanding of other characteristics as well. Sankhata dhammo niyato padhanama. Some other attributes are mentioned here. Having comprehended dhamma. So this is also connected with the what we call the sutava, where you learn certain things and you compare it with your what you call this own practice, and then it's very much like confirmation. Suppose, for example, now you are doing walking meditation and you are able to experience some amount of, say, element characteristics. So this is hardness, this is softness, this is, say, stiffness, this is softness, this is heat, this is cold. So likewise, you yourself experience very elementary level characteristics. And at the same time, suppose that you read a Buddha's teaching talking about four elements. Patavi, apo, tejo, vayo. This is the earth element, this is the air element. Okay, this is the water element, this is the heat element. So likewise, in certain suttas, Buddha explained. And if you are able to connect that teaching with your own experience, then what happens? Then you are quite sure, okay, I have experienced something and Buddha has taught that. Buddha has mentioned that. Now I am experiencing it. Even after 2600 years, it's available to me. So you get kind of a, say, thrill in a way. So yes, why not? I can also experience it. So actually, I can remember our Lokusavinnase, Bhante Dhammaji was explaining. Once he has visited a prison guard. So to a particular prison. And there were people who are sentenced to death. And when someone asks them to sit and meditate, they can't. Because they are the serial killers. So when they are closing their eyes, immediately those, whatever the situation that they went through, certain, say, serial killing that they did, are certainly disturbing them. But on the other hand, when they start to walk, that is more successful. Then they are telling Bhante, why not? I also can be mindful. I am a serial killer. I am a someone I have assassinated. But I also can be mindful. So this is something, I mean, that is why even Angulimala could do that, no? So we haven't killed anyone. Then why can't we do that? So we have to gain that confidence. Okay, we as human beings, we have this potential. So this potential has to be maximized. So we ourselves have a fair amount of potential to develop mindfulness. But if we are neglecting it, if we are postponing it, it will never happen. So someone else can't do it for us. So that is the important thing. So we ourselves have to find out how am I going to develop it. What are the possibilities available? What are the methods available that we have to explore? And then we have to develop. And then with that development, you can connect with the Buddha's teaching. Now you have some experiential knowledge. And you can compare it with the Buddha's teaching, then you are quite confirmed, okay, I am doing it properly, I am not going in the wrong path, I am going in the correct path. Niyato padhanava. Then, this is another interesting point. Now, he is certain, okay, this is the direction that I am leading to. I haven't gone to wrong direction. If I am leading in this direction, I may be reborn as a, for example, as a celestial being, as a god. Or I may be able to assume that someone is developing jhana and all these things. Probably I can become a Brahman. Or if one is further developing, correctly developing mindfulness, wisdom, etc. Then I might not again go back to the hell realm. Not back to the apaya. So he's become certain about his next birth in a way. I will never go to the hell realm. That is the, in a way, one confirmed that he's a now sotapanna, stream winner. That he is kind of has an assurance, I may not go back to the hell realm. Because Buddha mentioned to all our the human beings, hell realm is like our home. So we are out of home now in a way. Because whenever we come to the human realm, we are not properly using it. Rather we are misusing it and go back to home. Home is hell realm. And assume that someone is going to the celestial being, say he become a god. But they are not properly doing the correct thing. So they are enjoying senses and a lot of luxurious kind of behaviors there. So they neglect the practice. And again, the next life, again in the hell realm. So the majority of beings, Buddha mentioned, who are in the human realm and the heavenly realms, their next birth is not fortunate. So that is why Buddha mentioned, if one is really expecting kind of a proper future birth, so one has to have a kind of a faith, saddha. And with saddha alone, you can't do anything. But with saddha, you have to search. What Buddha has mentioned? Why it is important? Is it my first birth? So why I did with this kind of some kind of wealth? So when compared with another person, I am in a well-to-do family. Say I have some amount of education. I have some wealth. So why? It's not kind of an accident. So I had some kind of potential coming from my previous births. I have done something good. I have some fair amount of merit. So with that merit, I was able to get this kind of a fortunate kind of a situation. So if I am not using it properly, then again I am going back to the hell realm. So therefore, we need to understand the some sort of a fortune that we already have. Otherwise, then we are misusing it. So therefore, Buddha mentioned there are four categories of people. So one category he mentioned, going from darkness to darkness. You know, there are very poor people, but they are still stealing. Going after women, maybe going after, you know, this different kinds of bad things, drinking, alcohol, and so all sort of naughty things they are enjoying. But again, I mean, they are born as poor, again doing the wrong thing. So they are like darkness to darkness. On the other hand, there are certain other people, they are going from light to darkness. Some people are born to well-to-do families. Their parents are very wealthy, so fair amount of lands are available, lot of luxurious life is available, and lot of wealthy families there. But he doesn't know how to handle it. Children doesn't know how to handle it, so they are misusing. They are going after various enjoyment, and they don't know how to protect their wealth, and they don't know how to protect their behavior. So ultimately, even though they are born to a well-to-do family, but ultimately, since they are not properly managing it and doing a lot of bad things, because they have a lot of money, they can do all sorts of naughty things as well, and they are going from light to darkness. And the other side is, certain aspects are there from darkness to light. That means now some are born very poor, but they are very, very kind of with faith. I mean, to do some good things, you don't need really money. Assume that you are going to the Buddha and you are paying respect. You have become very humble and do some meditation and you offer some flowers. You observe sila. So that doesn't require money at all. So you can, even though you are coming from a poor family, still you can lead a very virtuous life. And for meditation, you don't need any money. You can develop your mind. So likewise, there's a possibility, even though you are born to a very poor family, even though from the past that you are getting very less merit power, you can develop in this level, in this life. Using that Buddha mentioned, he is very much like a person going from darkness to light. He was in a kind of a dark situation, not well-to-do family, but he's determined to further develop his faith, further develop his wisdom, concentration, etc., etc. And therefore, he's leading towards the light. And there are the best way is the other one, that is from light to light. There are certain people, they are born to a well-to-do family. They are rich, their parents may be rich, they themselves are doing a very good job maybe. But they are not misusing it. They have a better understanding of why I am getting this kind of potential. Even though others don't have, I have this much of potential. So how I can make use of that for the betterment of myself and to the others. So that is the person who is going from light to light. So these different opportunities Buddha mentioned, different levels or categories Buddha mentioned. So what we need to do in that sense, if we are poor, we can go from dark to lightness, light. And if you are already well to do, then we can go from light to light. And so in this verse, this particular Pacheka Buddha mentioned, Tanhakkayang Pattayang Apamattam. Now he is determined to uproot craving. So he understands craving as the cause of suffering. Anelamungo, he is quite wise. Sutava, and he is well learned. Satima, mindful. Sankhada Dhammo Niyato Padhanava, and he is well understood about the teaching. And Niyato Padhanava, and he know, and I am heading towards this direction. I am quite determined. If I am practicing like this, okay, my future would be like this. He's quite, he has a confidence, his own practice, about his own practice. Eko chare kagga visanasa, visana kappu. Now he is living like a rhinoceros horn, because he know about himself. Okay, he has kind of a determination to uproot craving. He is with wisdom. He has a lot of knowledge and mindfulness, and quite comprehend the Dhamma. And he know I'm reading this direction. I'm practicing in the correct direction. Now he is living alone like a rhinoceros horn. So this is the verse that I have to discuss today. With that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Okay. So we have 5 questions today. All are general questions. The first one. Bante, someone touching Shunyata for a moment, and by that time, if the Ditti Ashrava, Kama Ashrava and Bhava Ashrava is not eradicated, the person will dwell on that tranquility for a while. However, the habitual traits of mind will come back, yet on a positive note, the person will be fully aware of it. Bante, what are your thoughts and experience on this with metta? That's the end of the question. Was that clear?
Yeah, somewhat clear. So basically, that's what Buddha mentioned in the Mahasunyata Sutta, where the kind of the release is, in a way, at the beginning is very much like a temporary experience. So you can't maintain it for a long time. So you are developing vipassana as a result of the developed wisdom, that your mind get released. So that is how you are experiencing some emptiness. So that emptiness is momentary emptiness. You can't maintain it for a long time. But again and again, practice leads to have that emptiness for a little longer. Say today you experience it for 30 seconds. Maybe on tomorrow you may be experiencing it for a 1 minute. Say next day you are experiencing it for 2 minutes. Next day you are experiencing it for 3 minutes. So likewise, as we are gathering momentum, we are able to prolong that experience. Slowly, that experience becomes longer and longer. So at that time, he notices it. Okay, now there is something different in the mind, different situation in the mind, where I was dwelling with various elements and but all of a sudden when I am practicing, while I am going through the practice, so my mind get released. It's just temporary release, by the way. So how I can prolong it, how I can maintain it? So that is the practice, in a way. So that is the next level of practice one has to have. So that is exactly what explained by the Buddha in the Mahasunyata Sutta, how various different ways available to maximize it, to prolong it. Say, he is again and again developing vipassana and trying to reach that emptiness. Sometimes he is successful and sometimes not. So Buddha explains it very practically. Say, sometimes he is practicing using internal phenomena to achieve emptiness, but not successful. Another time he is practicing using external phenomena, still not successful. He is using internal and external, still not successful. But another time, assume that he is further developing concentration, further developing vipassana, using internal phenomena, now he is successful. Using external phenomena, now it is successful. He is successful. So likewise, this is a very practical approach Buddha is explaining. And so as you have mentioned, so as we are able to maintain this emptiness for a long time, there may be a possibility of understanding various traits. So as you mentioned, the ditti or the kamasava, bhavasava, avijjasava, so these are very root, very deeply rooted defilements. So understanding that requires fair amount of clarity of the mind. So you need to understand what are the mental, say, patterns available in the mind, what are the traits available in the mind. So that is what helping us to uproot them. So just using it or just being in the emptiness for a very short period might not be enough, but when you are able to maintain that for a longer period of time, then there's a higher possibility that you understand these various traits available in the mind for a very, very clearly, and then there's a possibility of uprooting them.
So this question number 2 of 5. Dear Bhante, I am so grateful that you answered all the questions in the last session. Importantly, the line left in my head as I'm experiencing this, which is, I have to put up a personality when I'm answering work calls. Bhante, you may already know that I had some experience a year ago in which So Bhante, you may already know that I had some experience a year ago, which I experienced an immense rest and quiet. There's more to it, but I'm not writing everything here. Now the challenge I have is that I am getting extremely physically and mentally tired when trying to perform daily house and office work activities. I feel like I am exhausted and get so helpless and do not know whom to reach out and ask help. Please help if you can. Appreciate and merits with metta. The end of the question.
Yeah, so actually I need to verify, I mean, why you really feel exhausted. So actually so you have to have some kind of an endurance and possibility of going through various challenges as you continue your practice. So it is not kind of a escapism that we are trying to develop. So we are not trying to escape from the different situations or difficulties or challenges, rather we have to go through them. So therefore, so if we are developing vipassana, if we are developing the practice, so it doesn't mean that we may not go through various difficulties. We may go through difficulties, but we are able to endure that. We are able to rise ourselves up from those difficulties. That is what we call as resilience. Say when we go through some difficult situation, others are crying and weeping and all these things, but we may quickly recover before the others. So that is something that we have to have. So therefore, it is not sure from your question. So why you are really feeling some sort of unsatisfaction? Why are you feeling little stress when you are going through this whatever the daily activities? So that you need to find out why it is happening. So are you sort of rejecting certain experiences? Do you have some sort of preferences in your mind? So these are the things that we need to explore, and how are we handling them? How are we able to overcome them? That is something that we need to understand.
Question number 3 of 5, general question.
Can you talk louder?
Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. General question. Dear Bhante, what must one do if they want to have a one-on-one consultation with you, Bhante? With metta, that's the end of the question.
So one-on-one consultation is very expensive. It's a private tuition. So that is why, I mean, different opportunities are there. So mindfulness for young adults, this session is only very few participants. Actually today we have 22 only, and therefore you can put all the questions, and therefore we can have a good discussion. And on Wednesdays also we have around 40 participants, and there also you can have a good discussion. On Sundays also we have another program. There also you have 1 hour time, and there also we can have a good discussion. Difficult to go for one-on-one discussions because I'm also running through some short of time. So probably you can come to Nissarnavane and see then whether there is a possibility.
Thank you, Bhante. I'll just add a little bit to that. We always ask or give the option for people to speak directly to you in this program.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, we can allow that. Yeah.
So that's another option.
Mindfulness for young adult session, we can allow that.
Yeah, so, but nobody does it. So if you're a bit scared, this is a chance for you to talk one-on-one. Well, although there's other people, there's an opportunity in this program. Also, just so you're aware, it's very difficult to get monks in Nisaramaniya one-on-one. This is a very good opportunity here. So Venerable Dhammajiva, impossible to get him one-on-one. So please, if you can, take advantage of this program. Okay, question number 4 of 5, mindful sitting. Dear Bhante, much merits for this wonderful program. Much merits for this wonderful program, which we have benefited for more than a year now. Over the period, I managed to build a regular practice of a few days per week, 1 hour sitting, 1 hour walking, and when possible as a daily routine. My question is regarding the extending this practice to day-to-day work. As a habit, I try to be mindful while brushing teeth, having a shower, and while eating and drinking. After about 6 months attempt, I managed to get a hang of it, and I feel calm and relaxed after these activities, similar to the formal practice sessions. I also started using this method to mitigate my vulnerabilities in lay life. Example, when I get annoyed or angry, I go to the washroom and wash my hands very slowly and mindfully, which immediately takes away that stress from me. When I feel lust or greediness, based on the situation, I focus on my walk or the posture for a few minutes until it goes away. In the past, when I get angry or lustful feelings, I get really shaken, ashamed, and vigilant around what is going on. Due to the application of mindful moments to manage the impacts, now my guards have come down since I know a technique which can protect me at any time. I don't know if any moral shame and fear has gone down and if it is the right direction. Thought of checking with Bhante with all my gratitude, with metta. That's the end of the question.
Yeah, I think you are heading in the correct direction, because we ourselves have to experience some kind of an improvement, some kind of less defilements, less stress, less tension, and feeling at ease, some kind of a calmness, peace in our mind. So these are the indicators to assess our practice. Because, I mean, we need to feel that. I mean, so these qualities have to be internalized, and we are developing mindfulness and various other qualities. And as a result of that, all these different kind of stressful situations we can handle without stress. Say others may be going through very tight situations, stressful situations. When we are going through such similar situation, but without much stress, we can go through that. So that it indicates some kind of a maturity. That indicates fair amount of maturity in ourselves in the practice. At the same time, we can have a kind of peaceful mentality. Say, Bhante Dhammajiva used to say, pasanna chitta. Say, while you are maintaining your day's activities, are we able to maintain kind of a peaceful background, peaceful environment in your mind, without getting stressed, without, say, penalizing others, without passing the ball to the others, without hating others, without being angry with others? Are we able to somewhat be with ourselves, to calm down ourselves, to internally happy, internally silent? So this is, I mean, these things may not come immediately, but with practice slowly we may start to experience it. Assume that some difficult situation, say several years ago, if I go through, I may dwell with it for say 2 weeks. I was shocked by that, I was crying about it, weeping about it. But with the practice, now I can overcome such situation, I can recover from such situation maybe within a day. Say after another time, now I can bear it. So likewise, this kind of a tolerance or endurance is something that we are developing. So that may happen slowly, So therefore, I invite you to continue your practice, and I feel like you are sharing your your own experience, and that indicates some amount of improvement, and that is the only way.
Question number 5, general question. This is the last one. Dear sir, appreciate sharing the book mentioned last time, Vidarshana Parapura, The Lineages of Contemplation Practice in Sri Lanka by Most Venerable Mathurasi Nanarama Mahathera. With metta, that's the end. More of a comment.
Yeah. Now that book is available in Nisanwani website, and if you go to Sinhala Publications, it is available there. Vidarshana Parapura by Most Venerable Mathurasi Nanarama Thera.
Bante, that actually ends the questions. Because we got a bit of time, there was a person who wanted to do a specific question. Maybe this is an opportunity for them. We have another 15 minutes. Otherwise, we'll finish early.
Fine.
So if anyone wants
to ask a question directly, you can unmute your mic and then ask the question. Okay, no questions. Good.
Okay. There's no one who raised their hand or sent any comments, I don't think. So, yes. Okay, we can finish early as well. Okay. Just to close the session, first of all, we'd like to very much thank Bante for passing on all this valuable advice to us, helping us through this, and also to pass on our merits to you and our gratitude. Secondly, to the people seen and unseen, working behind the scenes to make this happen. And lastly, to the participants, because without you, we would not be able to continue. So with that, we'd like to end the program today. Theravansaranai.
Yeah, Theravansaranai.